Hello everyone, and welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test Experience Series. We also call it the XP Series. You know it already that on this forum, we dive into the insightful world of software testing automation. But we specifically go through it from the lens of change makers and business leaders who are really revolutionizing software testing automation, right? So in today's webinar, we will shed light on the transformative power of generative AI and the promises it holds to revolutionize the software testing world. I have one of the best guests to speak on this topic, my dear friend, Artem Golubev, the co-founder and CEO of TestRigger. Artem has been the driving force behind TestRigger, and it's dedicated to elevating companies' QA efficiencies and streamlining their software delivery processes. With over 25 years of experience, Artem began his journey in software development from logistics firms, and having navigated through industry giants like Microsoft, Salesforce, and many other enterprises, he brings a wealth of knowledge in QA, best practices, and cutting-edge technologies to fundamentally help enterprises on this very, very important objective. So without any further ado, I would love to welcome Artem to really introduce himself, but I would take one liberty since I know Artem is a dear friend. I remember our first conversation where Artem said that, hey, I am here to ensure that manual testers are able to do automation testing. And I think that's a very, very powerful vision. You don't need rip and replace as a methodology to achieve efficiency. All you need is a pivot and the right tools to make it happen with the same resources, with the kind of people who have been building the enterprise over years. So Artem, please go ahead and introduce yourself to our guest today.
Hello, my name is Artem Golubev. I'm CEO and co-founder of TestRigger. And Mahit, you are absolutely correct. A lot of organizations right now already have huge manual testing teams, and they are struggling to be able to achieve our levels of test automation. And what we are helping our customers like Netflix, Cisco, Burger King, and many others achieve is to reuse that manual testing force in order to be able to build automation very quickly and effectively for end-to-end tests spanning web, mobile, native desktop, emails, two-factor authentication, phone calls, text messages, and so on and so forth. Anything that a human can do, you should be able to do it as soon as you can write it in English. That's good to go.
Great, and I think that's a great segue into the most curious question about generative AI, specifically in the context of testing. So here we go, Artem, with the first question. How does generative AI specifically addresses the challenge of test automation, maintenance, and what makes it specifically significantly more efficient than traditional methods? All ears for your thoughts.
So we use generative AI to enable people to build test cases in using just plain English. As soon as something is expressible in English, you should be able to make it work on TestRigger platform. So we allow people to surprisingly even automate away a lot of things that they thought are not automatable. Unless it's truly not automatable, like they're dealing with some physical things. It works actually by solving the largest problem of test automation. And the largest problem with that test automation that prevented people from being able to achieve on average 90% test coverage today is test maintenance. Followed by, of course, by a gigantic effort to even build tests in the first place. But test maintenance, this is what truly stops it in its tracks, because the challenge is that a lot of companies are struggling where QA automation engineers are almost or 100% full-time on just maintaining existing tests. We have close to zero bandwidth or literally zero bandwidth to build any net new test automation. So organizations just get by with manual testers. Moreover, actually, manual testers are extremely valuable resource because they hold the knowledge of how the system works by enabling manual testers to be able to participate in the process, and product managers review the test and say, hey, this is exactly what we expect, and no, this is not how it should work. That empowers organizations not only to move faster, but drop reliance on details of implementation, and therefore makes the tests more stable and encourage collaboration and so on and so forth. So why is the test maintenance is such a huge issue? And that's mostly because of reliance on details of implementation. If you look into traditional tools like Selenium and Appium, what we do there is you write code to validate how engineers wrote the code yesterday, as opposed to how it should function from end user's perspective end to end. And this is the largest issue that we helping our customers to solve, because we allow them to write tests in plain English, expressing everything purely from end user's perspective. So there is no need to hook into any details of implementation whatsoever. And as soon as those minute details of implementation like XPaths and CSS selectors change, it doesn't matter. If your description did not involve using locators at all, then it doesn't matter that locators change. As soon as your specification is still true, this is where stuff should work.
I think couldn't agree more with what you said, Artem, and you very precisely explained that manual testers hold a lot of contextual knowledge of the user behavior, right, and users' expectations. Also, the contextual knowledge of the enterprise application they have, right? So enabling that knowledge, enabling that talent, enabling that capability with a tool which helps you move faster towards automation, that's a great way to look at solving this problem. Now, with all the promises of generative AI, there are also misconceptions. We all know that. So, Adam, I'm sure it sometimes sounds too good to be true. And that's what you would have heard from some of the customers as well. So all these promises, efficiencies, great, super exciting. But what can we see now? What can we see now as an evidence which could really be insightful for our audience to see how they can use generative AI as of today?
Yes, I know this is number one concern from our people who hear what we're doing, is that we don't believe that it's actually possible. So let me quickly show some simple demo. Like, I'll do it on Best Buy. Basically, we're creating test suite from scratch. This is everything we will be providing. The URL, usually we provide username and password. And here we will give the description of what this system under test does. So the second sentence I usually add to make sure it would prioritize testing without logging in because it didn't provide username and password. Yeah. But of course, it's important here to provide good description. You can copy paste usually what your product managers have. Let's create a test suite. We're asking it to generate us one end-to-end test. And so it did. Verify purchase. Let's say yeah, sure. Let's build that test. And going forward, it is possible to generate test cases. This is a button. You can do the same thing. You copy paste the feature description here. This is how you would upload the wireframes, charts, and diagrams. And however, the most important one is ability to copy paste test cases. Let's say you have a manual test case and it will look something like this. Like something like find and select a Kindle. Add it to the shopping cart. Something like that. And then you, of course, later on can add the validation. So it asks, hey, we don't know what it is. Can we use AI? Yes, please use AI. And while it's doing that, this is what I was talking about, right? So the name of the test case verify purchase of Kindle as a guest user, which is used as a prompt. And then AI based on this prompt tries to go through the application and figure out what steps specifically needs to be taken to make it work. In this particular example, it started with entering Kindle into search bar in here. And then it tries to click add to cart, which is incorrect. But because it's overlapped with the this drop down here, so what it ends up doing is going to list of Kindles and so on and so forth, but we can correct that later on. So as you can see, it did not do a good job here, and I'll show you how to deal with this in a second. Here, when you use more specific prompts, this is exactly what I was talking about, find and select a Kindle. It did a little bit better job. It entered Kindle here and then it clicked on the search here. So it got to the search results. Then when it got into specific Kindle, so it found specific Kindle and then it will go ahead and add it to cart and so on and so forth. But let's say, okay, so let's finish it. And let's say, hey, we didn't like what it was doing. So we can easily correct it and say, hey, let's just click on any Kindle and then just click on any cart and then go to cart, and we don't even need the rest of it in here. And this is how you can correct the steps, because as you can see, AI sometimes goes on a tangent and does something weird. You can also correct same things when you're dealing with more specific prompts, like this one, find and select Kindle. So you'll be able to, well, it's single page application, so it opens up the whole, loads the whole thing. But point being, you can correct the steps on this specific, for this specific prompt, and you can, this prompt, it can be used as a function. I'll show you, like, you can literally just say, hey, fine. Once you provide the prompt, it became a function, and then you can reuse that function with corrected steps if you corrected it in another test or in the same test and so on and so forth. This is this. You can uncheck AI and say, hey, what I want to do is I want to click on any Kindle and then click add to cart. Bam, and that's it. And this is how you correct the steps here. And this is all the functions in here, which you can correct. You can keep them if it's small enough, you can keep them AI based, or you can correct the steps, or you can fix the prompt to make it more clear so AI can understand what needs to be done. But once again, this is how it works. You let AI do the job for you, then you review it and correct what did it do.
So next question to you, Adam, is what are some of the common misconceptions about generative AI in test automation, and how do Test Rigger is planning to address those misconceptions?
Yes, so misconception, what we most often see is AI would do everything for you and you don't have to do anything at all whatsoever. That is not true. If you oftentimes look into manual test cases, for example, the Test Rigger has that feature. You can import like manual test cases for execution. Oftentimes these manual test cases have things that are unnecessary, unclear, or require domain knowledge that AI in itself just does not have. Those oftentimes are written by people in that, not only in that industry, but specifically working on those projects, familiar with the jargon, familiar with this internal communication and all the context that is that exists when people work on a project. And of course, then you give it to AI, it's like giving it to a fresh new person, like either a human or AI would not have that context. So therefore, the test cases oftentimes need cleaned up. Moreover, if people are trying to build full end-to-end tests just from small prompt completely end-to-end, oftentimes you might need to correct certain things, like because AI still have hallucinations and can go on tangent and do significantly more than you asked it to, or other way around, it just wasn't able to complete all the steps you would want it to complete. And this is where manual testers come in and we help to clean it up. We review the steps. We see, okay, so here the system didn't do what it's supposed to do. It's very easy to do with the screenshots. You'll see immediately what's missing, and just fix the steps. My point is, AI will do a large portion of the job for you and significantly simplify the process, but it will not replace the humans. It will just make you humans about 10, 20 times more efficient.
So even before somebody figures out how to use generative AI, what you are suggesting is they need to know first where to use it correctly, identifying the areas where to use it. And of course, there would be places where it will not be applicable. So how comes later? First is figuring out where to use it, right? Great. I think the next question kind of really is an extension to what we have been discussing so far. So can generative AI be customized to fit specific organizational needs? Every organization is different. Their tech landscape development is different. And so can generative AI be customized for their specific testing requirements, or is it a one size fit all sort of a generic capability, which in portions might work in similar way for all? What's your take on that?
The like generative AI can be used across the board anywhere. When we're talking about our system, which uses generative AI, so organizations would be dealing with the same model like across the board that we have prepared and trained, but actually not one model, it's a set of models. And it's not fit all in the sense that it's not 100% autonomous. Yes, there are certain things where system can autonomously do testing. For example, it can automatically test public pages on a website. But when we're talking about complex functionality, then yes, you can import test cases or copy paste test cases into the system, but then somebody would need to review them. Somebody would need to clean them up, make sure they are doing exactly what you would expect them to do, and so on and so forth.
Great. No, I think that's true that there is a possibility of really leveraging it for a specific needs. So thanks for sharing those insights. Let's switch gears to your journey with AI and generative AI. And I know that TestRigger has been one of the early adopters of AI-led capabilities in test automation, right? So would love your insights and learning experience that what were the most significant challenges or limitations you have encountered while implementing generative AI and test automation? And how did you go about overcoming?
Well, I guess the challenges are mixed misconceptions that people might have and overblown expectations. A generative AI will help you to build, I don't know, maybe anywhere between 30 to 80% of the steps in your test cases, on average, depending on how much context is required. But then people would still need to come in and clean it up, make sure that it is doing the right thing. That's probably the largest challenge in there. So, and there are certain techniques to deal with hallucinations. So you can basically, after AI generated you the steps, you can say, hey, like, this is how I would see it going forward. To avoid hallucinations, this is one. And second, in some cases, just make the prompts more specific to be able to address it.
Fantastic. I think, yeah, and with the kind of areas you mentioned, let's dive right into some of the specific objectives that we have been driving, you have been driving with enterprise customers. Especially reliability and accuracy. These are the two most important pillars, right, of test automation. So specifically in the context of complex or critical functionality, how do you fare, or how do you see generative AI ensuring the reliability and accuracy of test automation?
It actually helps significantly improve it. Because as I mentioned, let me share, I guess, the screen. So if on this screen, there's a comparison between the same tests in Selenium and same exact test in TestTrigger. On the right, in Selenium, there are lines on details of implementation, specifically with XPath, IDs, names, and so on and so forth. And this is what basically drives inaccuracies and makes tests unreliable, because those details of implementation constantly change, which makes the test fail, whereas from end user's perspective, everything might be working all right. Compare that with the test on the right. So there is login, right? And a login would work regardless of how it is implemented. Maybe today it is one-step login, where you entering username and password and pressing login button. Tomorrow it might be two-step, where you first providing username, click continue, then providing password and click login. It doesn't matter. If you can log in as a human, then the system will be able to figure it out for you and log in on your behalf. That's the whole point. And this is what significantly elevates, we're talking about several hundred times, the reliability of test cases.
Great. I think there were clear examples, and I see a direct impact of these kind of capabilities on some of the metrics that we measure. For example, bugs caught via automation versus bugs caught manually, or reducing the bugs in production, etc. So there is a clear impact which can be inferred from the examples that you just provided. But let's talk about beyond reducing or beyond increasing the efficiency on these metrics. What are the other areas where you think generative AI can actually improve the product quality, right? Are there any indirect benefits that one should consider as they invest in this technology?
Yes. So one of the benefits that I have mentioned is better processes, right? It's not just like literally exactly who write tests. It's about efficiency of the whole organization overall, including product managers and engineers, not just QA automation engineers or manual testers. Moving the test cases into domain of plain English would basically allows everyone to chime in and everyone to be able to participate in the process. First of all, we have a feature where product managers can copy paste their specifications, upload wireframes and diagrams to generate test cases, which then most probably will be taken over by QA organization, which would clean them up to make sure they are exactly doing what we are supposed to before handing it over to engineering. And most importantly, product managers can review the results and say, yes, this is exactly what I meant, or no, or like, let's correct that. And engineers are writing features. Sometimes we want to add a new test, that's no problem. Or sometimes we need to modify the test to keep the test with green. It's still very much possible with plain English, plain text. Moreover, It actually even enables significantly more efficient overall end-to-end process. So the traditional process, if you look into how people are usually doing it today, is that product managers write specifications, engineers write the code, then QA automation can actually write automation, and then there is a testing, and then they finally release. What we enable our customers to do is use these specifications that product managers are writing anyway to generate test cases to help to speed up test coverage. But most importantly, QA is working right there before engineers write the code. Additional benefit being it reduces misunderstanding between product managers and engineers, so that the likelihood of engineers creating a feature which a product managers didn't intend to produce is significantly reduced, right? There is always misunderstandings and so on and so forth, and especially if you write too large of a specification, engineers might not even want to read it all, right? They might skim through, miss some details, and invent some stuff instead, based on how the system work and how you feel like, as opposed to how product managers exactly specified it in the specification. So we help to reduce the probability of this happening and delivering something to production that then later on would need to be corrected by providing these end-to-end tests in advance, so that engineers, when we write the code, can run the test and see if the test turned from red to green, to make sure, like, yes, the feature was delivered as expected. And this is how you can become significantly more efficient as an organization overall.
Oh, great insights, and clearly very significant and big promises. Who would not want these kind of capabilities unless the ROI is justified, right? So while we talk about all these big promises and these efficiencies, right, there is always a cautious call on what's the ROI of implementing generative AI. So what's your take on the lens that one should put while analyzing the ROI of such investments?
There are multiple ways to calculate ROI, and it's an art sometimes. But one of the ways to do it is to just calculate the efficiency of overall organization, how quickly you can deliver features with less bugs to production. From a quality assurance perspective, the probably number one should be how much less the organization is losing because of bugs in production, right? Because bugs in production lead to churn or lack of sales and upsell, and you can actually measure that get the estimate and calculate basically the price of bugs, right? If you then reduce this number of bugs that is leaked to production, this is how you can estimate, hey, like, you know, the price of the bug, and now the number of bugs that leak to production is decreased, let's say, two times. Therefore, we expect that we will lose two times less revenue compared to last time. It might be a little bit more nuanced and complex, because as the organization grows, the impact of the same bug can be actually amplified. If the whole company grew two times over the course of a year, then the number of users is 2x, and the price of the bugs will most probably double as well. So it's a little bit more dynamic, but you can start from calculating the ROI based on the price of bugs.
So great insights, Artem. And as you rightly said, the midterm, long-term ROI analysis have to be as per the nuances which enterprises are looking for, from this investment, as per what matters to them with respect to midterm, long-term aspirations that they have. And this brings us to the end of today's podcast. Artem, any parting thoughts before you leave us and before you leave our audience today?
I probably want to share one of the interesting insights from our customers that leverage generative AI features. So usually we saw then that people are developing test cases on our platform. Manual testers would be able to build around 1,000 end-to-end test cases, then allocate it full time. However, we recently started to see people who significantly outperformed that. So there are like a couple of people doing that, and within 2 months, we automated 4,000 test cases. 2 months, two people. So we asked them, "Hey, what's going on? How are we able to achieve that? That's unprecedented. They have not seen that before." And they said, "Hey, we just followed the process, leveraged the AI, we copy pasted our manual test cases, and we just cleaned it up, and that's it. Kicked off from where, out of the box." That is amazing.
Wow. I'm sure there are many such stories, Artem, many such customers who are taking advantage of great work that is happening back there. So as we wrap up today's session, Artem, like always, it's delightful to talk to you. Your vision on how generative AI can transform testing is truly, truly inspirational. So more power to you, more power to Test Rigor. I'm sure our audience would pick some of the takeaways or many more takeaways from today's talk, and they will implement it in their day-to-day job, because generative AI is here. It's right here already. So to our audience, stay tuned. Many more such insightful conversations are lined up for you. And if you haven't already, go subscribe to the YouTube channel where you can find all our XP episodes. Thank you once again. Thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a pleasure hosting you all. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.